KGMI and the Cascade Radio Group receive financial compensation to present this program in its entirety. Opinions and information expressed are those of the host and or sponsors and do not necessarily reflect those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group. It's time to get informed and inspired. This is Saturday Morning Live, sponsored by Asset Advisors LLC on KGMI, News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
Welcome to Saturday Morning Live. I'm your host, Ashley Buttonshone, this morning. And this morning, we're going to have a great show. We have got gubernatorial candidate Dave Reichard on the line with us. And we have got council member Mark Stremler in studio. So this morning, we have Dave Reichard, as I just mentioned, vying for the esteemed position of governor. Dave has an impressive track record in public service prior to embarking on his gubernatorial campaign. He served as King County Sheriff for 25 years. He also served for 14 years as a representative in U.S. Congress. So from 2005 to 2019, Dave was in U.S. Congress. Throughout his career, Dave has focused on public safety, making our community a safe place. And, you know, if for all of you true crime fans out there, Dave played a pivotal role in bringing the notorious Green River killer Gary Ridgway to justice. So please welcome this morning Sheriff and Congressman Dave Reichard to the show. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. So we've also got Mark Stremler. He's on the line or in the studio today. So Mark is going to be on second half. So this morning we're going to start off with Dave. Dave, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to take our first break because I don't like to interrupt my guests. So we're going to be right back after our first break and dive right into your race. Okay.
Okay. I'm ready.
Hey, Dave here from Cafe, and I want you to know that whether you're upgrading your laundry room or ready to replace an old dishwasher, you're going to find the best possible deals on appliances at DeWard & Bodie. They are the real appliance pros around here, and they've been selling, servicing, and installing appliances throughout Whatcom and Skagit counties for over 78 years. And right now, it's their final weekend of the annual spring clearance, which means now or never deals on hundreds of floor models and clearance appliances. Now through Monday, they will pay your sales tax on qualifying in-stock appliances or give you up to 2 full years of interest-free financing with no down payment on qualifying purchases. Plus, get fast professional delivery and installation. Also, score huge cashback rebates this weekend, like eligible customers can get up to $425 cash back on qualifying LG laundry sets. It's now or never during DeWard & Bodie's final weekend of spring clearance at all three stores in Bellingham and Burlington. See store for details. Offer qualifications and restrictions apply.
Dedicated to service, shining a light on local individuals, law enforcement, and groups giving back to our community. Brought to you by Nieder House of Luxury in Bellingham.
Mackenzie Powell and family turned a negative into a positive when they discovered their new home had housed a seasonal colony of brown bats in the attic. After cleanup, they reached out to Bellingham Makerspace to create an alternate living space when the bats return this spring. Enter local Girl Scout Amber Nearing, who took on the project of building 40 bat boxes. With a huge assist from Makerspace volunteers Sandy and Mark, the two families, the Bat Conservancy, and our local Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Bat Colony and the Powell family will safely coexist this spring.
Dedicated to service, brought to you by Nieder House of Luxury. Go see why they were recently voted Best Startup Business and Best Jewelry Store in the Northwest. Stop by today to view their beautiful selection of GIA-certified and lab-grown diamonds, plus unique custom designs with an in-house jeweler. Find them at 21 Bellwether Way next to Lombardi's Back Patio.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Live. I'm your host, Ashley Buttonshone. On the line with me, I have Dave Reichard running for governor. Dave is a Republican candidate. In the studio with me, I have Mark Stremler from our county council. He's District 4. So, Dave, welcome on this morning. How are you this morning? Do you already get your workout in? I know I've heard you're a morning person and you like to work out.
I did. Today was cardio day, so yes, it's mind over mattress for me. That's the
Good.
That's the equation, yeah.
That's how you keep a clear mind when you're in a campaign. So, Dave, tell us why. You know, a lot of people know you from being sheriff of King County. But here in Whatcom, you know, we don't know you as well as those in King County. So tell us why you decided to, you know, kind of step away from your role of fighting human trafficking and decide to run for the governor's race.
Well, I've served in the Air Force Reserve for 6 years, 33 years in the sheriff's office, 14 years in Congress. And then when I left Congress, as you mentioned, for about 4.5 years working in Central America and in the United States on human trafficking and a new technology called rapid DNA. And I just want to continue that service. And although that was a very rewarding work, I want to really focus on the local issues. And I believe that the resume, the experience that I've been blessed with over my career just fits perfectly with the issues that we're facing today. And those are, as I hear from people around the state, the number one issue is no surprise to anyone, and that's the criminal justice system is totally broken.
Mm-hmm.
The second issue is homelessness, which is closely related with substance abuse and mental illness. And the third issue is, of course, the economy. And then education, not in any order of priority there, but those are the four top issues. And to me, they're all connected. You pull on one string, solve a problem, and one, you begin to unravel and solve the problem of them all. And I think then you start putting the state on a path forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, so I pulled up, as I was preparing for this interview, I pulled up some of the polling that's come out recently, and it's clear to me that you are the top runner, you know, on the Republican side, but really the top runner here to win this race. You know, the most recent polls I'm looking at puts you ahead 9 to 5 or 9 points ahead in the general. And so, you know, tell us why you might be the more popular candidate when here in Washington State, we tend to see it's a Democrat.
Yeah, I'll go back to just the issues. We're in the state of disarray and in an upside-down world, as I've heard others describe it. I living here, I feel exactly the same way. And so we believe we can turn this state right side up. And again, all of the experience I have just fits the issues that we're facing today. And even though Ferguson has been in office the last 12 years and has had many opportunities to correct the direction that we've been heading along with our governorship, which has, of course, been in control of the Democrats for the last 40 years, now we find us in this place. Of, again, I'm going to use the word upside down, and we are seen as a candidate that is a thinker. I don't operate off of ideologies. I operate off of facts, and I go back to the old Dragnet show and Joe Friday, just the facts, ma'am. And that's how I operated in Congress, of course, in the sheriff's office, being a detective for most of my career, and the sheriff the last 8. You've got to make decisions based on fact. If you're making decisions from an ideological point of view, which is what has happened the last 12 years, especially, it is a strategy that is a failing strategy.
Yeah, and you know, as you know, I look at your record, it shows that you clearly have the ability to work in bipartisan. You know, you have the tools, I think, to govern as governor, and I feel that your bipartisan work shows that you don't work off emotion, that you do work off of facts. And so I think, you know, you can, as a candidate, you can say something, but you have a track record to show that. You know, I see often here and throughout the state are police officers or their families posting that it's a hard time to be a police officer. It's a hard time to get more police officers. As governor, how would you support our law enforcement in the difficult time that they're having right now?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. And yes, this is a tremendously difficult time to be a police officer. Ferguson came out with his law enforcement plan, which is let's provide money to every agency in the state of Washington. It seems that the Democrats' plan is always it's always more money, more money, more money. Cops don't become cops to get rich. and what we need to do is elect officials in our local communities that are supportive of law enforcement and supportive of the idea of working together with the community. Go back to the simple community policing. It's not policing the community. It's community policing. Community is the first word used in that phrase because that is the most important word. So we go back to community policing, engaging with the community. And the two most important things for cops is, number one, I don't want to be sued. Qualified immunity is still intact, but every year the Democrat-led House and Senate come back trying to attack that protection for police officers and their families. They don't want to lose their homes when they make a life and death, split second life and death decision. They don't want to be, secondly, they don't want to be arrested and charged with a crime when they have to make that last second, split second, blink of an eye, life and death decision. And what we've seen by the Attorney General's office in our state is a tendency to side with the crooks first and go after the cops. And yes, we need accountability, and yes, we need to hire great cops. We can't lower the standards for police officers, which is what's happening now, because we can't hire enough. We're 51st in the country when it comes to the number of police officers per capita serving our communities. That means we're dead last in the entire nation, including Washington, D.C. So it's one of the main reasons I jumped back into this race. Back to your question at the top of the interview, I just believe they need backup. And the governor, from the governor's bully pulpit, from the governor's office, I can stand up and be a loud voice for community policing, for support of police officers, and stop this insanity of blaming victims and excusing criminals. That's the world that we live in. The next thing I would do is I would get rid of the current parole board membership. They're just releasing, they've released 35% of our prisoners from our prisoners. They want to close down prisons. And I get the burn JAG money back to help our drug task force efforts in arresting cartels and gangs that are bringing fentanyl into our state.
Well, and so that was going to be my next question. As we were listening to the news report right before the show, talking about fentanyl in Everett, there were three children that overdosed on fentanyl. One passed away tragically and two survived. What are we going to do? I mean, we're really seeing the fentanyl crisis kick up where children are dying. So, it's so backwards to me to see where, again, we make the crooks, they get away with anything, and the victims, they're just left, feeling like they're forgotten and not helped. And I see, people telling me my son's a police officer and his patrol car was shot up and he's worried when he comes home and he almost died, he's going to be sued. Everything's upside down. What do we do on the fight with fentanyl? What would you, when you become governor, what would you do immediately?
Well, the first thing I would do is redirect that burn JAG money back to our drug task forces. I met with 500 WISNIA, which is the Washington State Narcotics Investigation Association, 500 narcotics detectives from Washington State who are, they're out there fighting the battle, and they feel like not only feel like it, but their hands are tied. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are handcuffed, right? We've said that. And one of the things that has done that is the removal of the Earn JAG funding, shifting over to all social services. There is money for social services, but there has to be this enforcement tool that goes along with it. When we have gang members coming up from the border, cartels now have infiltrated this state. We have to have the resources. We got the cops that want to do it, 500 of them. We need more of them. Burn JAG grant redirected back into those task force efforts would make a huge difference. And then we've got to, of course, marry that effort with drug treatment and therapy. Yeah. We have to start to get people off the street, give them that help they need to kick the habit, because our fentanyl deaths have increased by 21%. And you said, it's so sad. It's not just the drug users on the street. Our children now are dying just right. from a whiff or a touch of that drug.
Right. And, you know, so you mentioned the border. This is a question I've heard a lot is, you know, what are we going to do? We're a sanctuary state. And I've heard other candidates just say, we're going to cancel being a sanctuary state. It's not that easy. You can't just cancel it. So what would you do and how would you bring I've heard, you know, bringing forth or lessen the regulations on the state patrol maybe. So what would you do to make our state safer when it comes to the flood of the border being just open?
Right. So you're absolutely correct. It's not as easy as some candidates or people say, you know, just stop taking illegal immigrants into the state. In 2019, Inslee issued an executive order. We would be a sanctuary state. 2 years later, our legislature passed a law. Inslee signed it into law, so we are legally now a sanctuary state. So the first effort, of course, would be to meet with our Democrat friends, who are probably still going to be maintaining a majority in the House and the Senate, and see if we can find a way forward to cooperate to at least keep criminal illegal immigrants out of our... I'm talking about, I understand it's a crime to be an illegal immigrant, but those who are committing crimes. Mm-hmm. And even if I can't get support for that, I would ask my chief of the State Patrol, enforce the laws where we have criminal activity in the illegal immigrant community. Arrest those people. If they're violent crimes, we charge them here. We prosecute them. They do their time. If it's, let's say, it's a murder case, sadly, they do their time. And when their time is done, we ship them back to their countries. If they have warrants out for their arrest from other states or other countries, I think we have to pursue those people and arrest them and ship them back to the countries that they came from. So focus on the people who are the illegal actors within that immigrant community.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, you know, we're just about out of time here. You've got to go. But, you know, any last messages you'd like to share as you're headed off to your day? I'm sure you're driving out throughout the state getting the message out. But anything that you'd like to share with us? Maybe we can have you back on, talk about affordability or taxes or something else later on. But anything else you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, I want to give people hope. We can win this. I know it's been 40 years. But we can win this race this year. It's united we stand, divided we fall.
Absolutely.
And we are 9% ahead of Ferguson. We have 43% of the 25% of undecided voters already. Ferguson has 32%. We're 11% ahead of him in gathering those undecided voters. That's where our win is going to be. When I ran for Congress, the margin of the group of undecided voters was 4 to 7%. That's what I fought over for 7 years, or for seven terms, 14 years, 4 to 7%. This time, we have 25%, and we're 5 to 1, 6 to 1 Republicans support over our Republican opponent.
That's great.
We can do this.
We can do it. And I just want to remind everybody to vote in the primary in August, because we have many on the ballot, and it's important to get Dave in that the top two so that we can win in November. So thank you so much, Dave, for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a great show. Great day today.
Thank you. You too. All right, Mark. So we're going to have a break in a minute, but here in the studio with me, I've got Councilmember Mark Stremler from District 4, and we're going to take a break in about 1 minute. But Mark won in November by about 900 votes. Am I correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So congratulations to you, because you have not been on the show since you won in November. How are you liking it? Do you like the job?
You know, I do. I find it strangely exhilarating. I get asked this all the time, and I do. I am really enjoying it. I am.
Yeah, and for those of you who've never been to a council meeting, there's the one that the public mostly the public does not join, but you can join, and the ones that people do are every other Tuesday at 6 p.m., and sometimes they go till midnight or beyond. And so to hear that a council member enjoys not only that meeting, but all of the other meetings. Mark, how many meetings do you sit through on Tuesdays? Like, what time do you start on a Tuesday?
Yeah, good question. So first, did you know I have a fan club?
I did not know.
You didn't know?
No.
There's 8 people in it.
Nice. It's
and
awesome.
I had to give a shout out to them this morning. Those 8 people, uh-huh. Those are my grandkids.
Yes.
And I know some of them are listening, so I had to say hello to them.
Oh, yes. So, okay, so, yeah. Your grandkids are, what are the ages again from?
10 down to like 4 months.
Oh, and they're like all girls, but one?
7 girls, 1 boy.
Yeah. So, yeah. And they are adorable. I don't know if you've seen any of Mark's pictures that came out on his mailers, but he's got a pretty darn cute group, or your fan club here is adorable. So what time do you start out in the morning when you're at the council?
Yeah. So, you know, Tuesday's kind of our big day. We have committee meetings. During the day, we start anywhere from 9 to 10 in the morning and go all day and take a dinner break. And then the big show is at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, the big show, I went in and actually sat in on the council chambers this last Tuesday. And it was actually more, I would say, of a boring one. Not a whole lot going on, but still important work, very important work. Some, you know, approval of different funding and whatnot. And we'll get more into that here in a few minutes after the break. But Mark, what are the committees you're on? Or what's your favorite committee?
My favorite committee?
Yeah.
Good question. I like the Public Works and Health Committee, which
okay.
I'm on. I have a background in public works, so I have a real special interest, you know, in that department. So I would say that's probably my favorite.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And to be clear, you worked in public works before you became council member, and now you're not at public works. Because I've been asked this question maybe 100 times since you've won. You are no longer at public works, correct?
I am no longer at public works.
Okay. And you are a council member.
Correct.
That is it.
That was one of the first things I learned about when I was thinking about the council, and that I had to vacate at Public Works should I win, which happened.
Okay, we're going to take a break now that we've dispelled that rumor. We'll be right back.
This is Dick Donahue, host of Wealth Wake Up here on KGMI. These are interesting and challenging times with all the political turmoil both in the United States and overseas. How we address our financial decisions are top of mind with our clients and prospects. My many years of experience as a financial advisor are valuable as we help our clients paint a picture of their lives. The independence we have through LPL Financial to offer non-proprietary solutions is equally important. So call us at Asset Advisors at 360-733-1200. Check out our website at wealthwakeup.com and join us at 11 a.m. each Saturday for Wealth Wake Up Live, or 9 a.m. Sunday mornings for Wealth Wake Up here on KGMI.
The opinions voiced on Wealth Wake Up or in our podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.
When you buy a Subaru from Dewey Griffin, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying safety for your family and reliability. Simply put, you're buying trust. Check out the huge inventory of new and pre-owned Subarus online today at DeweyGriffinSubaru.com. From the 8-passenger Ascent to the Forester Impreza and the all-new Crosstrek. Plus, get up to 1.9% APR financing on select new 2024 Subaru Outbacks. Dewey Griffin, community-minded, community-driven, and the only Subaru certified tire and service center in Whatcom County.
You need a job? Go to HireMeWad.com. HireMeWad.com is Cascade Radio Group's hyper-local job board. It's free and easy to use. Just go to HireMeWad.com for the latest job openings and offers. You can apply right there. HireMeWad.com is available 24 hours a day. Check back often. New jobs are posted frequently. Don't see what you want? Post your resume and let prospective employers find you. HireMeWad.com, the go-to job board for Northwest Washington. HireMeWad.com. Your new job awaits.
There's a lot going on right now, and broadcasters are on the ground covering all of it, bringing you the weather, the traffic, and breaking news, all while entertaining you 24 hours a day. Someone needs to tell you what's going on around the world and in our hometowns, and that someone is us. We are free radio. We are always there. We are broadcasters. Visit wearebroadcasters.com or text radio to 52886 to learn more. Furnished by NAB and this station.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Harness the power of the sun, reduce your carbon footprint, and save on your energy bills. Explore the advantages of going solar with West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
CBS News Brief. Tornadoes whipped through multiple states yesterday, causing paths of destruction. CBS's Omar Villafranca has details on one in Nebraska.
Houses shredded in Douglas County, some taking a direct hit by the destructive tornado. A newly built neighborhood with a few homes still under construction, now gone.
Students are rallying on college campuses across the country and even in Paris in support of the Palestinians in Gaza. Many are calling for their administrations to cut ties with organizations they say are aiding the war in Gaza.
We'll support the Palestinian movement at large. We'll support other universities. We'll support all over the globe until Palestine is free.
Former President Trump says he is willing to debate President Biden before the November election.
I just want to say that I've invited Biden to debate. He can do it anytime he wants.
The president, former president, spoke after his hush money trial wrapped up yesterday. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Live. I'm your host, Ashley Buttonshone. On this morning with me was Dave Reichard running for governor as your Republican candidate. And this morning in studio with me is Councilmember Mark Stremler from the 4th District. We were just talking about how Mark just won in November and he gets to the council early on Tuesdays. What else do you do in your council day or your week? Walk us through. What does Mark do?
Yeah, good question. So, so we have 22 scheduled council meetings a year, and those are on Tuesdays. The Thursday before that Tuesday, we get our agenda. And
how many pounds is that agenda?
It's many. My very first one was a paper copy, and it was literally 4 inches thick. Now it's all electronic, but yeah. So I take it pretty darn serious. I dive into literally everything in that agenda, do my homework, make phone calls, read. I'll just give you an example of this past week. There was one agenda item kind of had to do with the ag community. So, you know, I've made connections in the ag community. So I, you know, give those guys a call and say, hey, get some eyes on this. Give me a little perspective from where they're sitting, because they would be more the experts on, you know, in that department. So that's how I spend my time from Thursday to Monday night and go into it Tuesday morning feeling prepared. So that's kind of that schedule. And then in between the Tuesday meetings, we have council members have you know, been assigned to other advisory committees that, you know, that we attend during the week, you would say.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So what do you think you've learned on council so far? Like, you know, running for the council seat is one thing. And then you get there, or any elected office, you run for something, you think you know what you're going into. And then you get there and you go, oh, they didn't tell me this. It's like having a baby.
Well, I don't know anything about that, really.
But you've had many children in your home. So,
we have.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell me, like, when you got there, what have you learned that you didn't know?
Yeah. You know, I thought that there would be a lot more interaction amongst council members in between meetings, you would say. Mm-hmm. I thought there was a lot more, you know, behind the scenes chatting and discussing and, you know, chewing the fat and...
And there's only, you can only have a certain number of you before it becomes, you know, an actual council meeting.
Yep. So, you know, we always keep that in mind, which limits greatly. So I thought there was more of that. So that's one thing I've learned. I have learned that there are many, many wheels turning in the county. I'm sure there always has been, but there are some, you know, there's some pretty big things coming up here in the next couple years that, you know, we are involved in.
So what's been the biggest surprise on council? I mean, maybe less communication between council members than you thought, but what's some other surprises that they've seen?
One thing that always makes me kind of smile is when I read the agenda and start going through all the items is the fact that climate change has its greedy fingers in like almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea the depth of that agenda. So that kind of, I didn't know that was really going on. So that's one thing. It's just, there's a lot involved to the council. There really is. And it's what you put into it. And I got to applaud all the other council members and, you know, really any elected officials for, you know, the time and effort that they put in. It's
So what,
a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. And like you said, like 4 inches thick of stuff and a binder going on. What would you say has been the things that bring your interest the most? I mean, you talked about public works, but what are the things that you guys have brought before the council and voted on, issues that you have kind of dove into? I know there's been some stuff with the fire commissioners that you've worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe tell our listeners about that and what, you know, what the topic was and what was the outcome.
Yeah. So that's a good example. There was a study that was going to happen, kind of a countywide assessment, you would say, of all the fire districts. And they came to me as an entire group from the whole county, all the fire districts, and they felt very unrepresented in that process. They were not reached out to any degree for their input or collaboration in the beginning, and they didn't like the direction it was going, and because they wanted to be part of the conversation, which they weren't. So, you know, I brought forward a fact that we really don't need this study. They are already doing everything they can to be efficient and to be collaborative amongst districts. That didn't pass, but it was good to get to know the fire districts of the county. They do great work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything else? I mean, like you talk about, you know, climate change, or, I mean, because we don't call it global warming anymore. It's climate change. It is kind of baked into everything, along with homelessness. And what have you seen, I guess, you know, when you look at it, what's the good, what's the bad? What's your take on when you're going through everything? Are we spending our money wisely? Maybe is my question. I've talked to Ben.
How much time do you have?
Right. No, let me have it. Are when it comes to that, are we just throwing money at things? Or are we actually making progress?
You know, we are in some areas. We are making progress. Yes, I believe the fentanyl situation in the county. I believe there's been small amount of progress, but I believe that there is going to be substantially more in that area. So, you know, I'm very hopeful and confident where that's going. As far as money being spent wisely, that's kind of a relative issue. I mean, like some people might say it is, and some would say it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing how much money flows through the county, whether it's coming from the federal government or the state government, you know, to Whatcom County, and then, you know, being dispersed. It is staggering, the amount of money.
Yeah, and I mean, ideally, and we've talked about this, ideally we bring money back, even the state legislature or the federal dollars, we bring it back and disperse it instead of, you know, maximizing the tax that we take from the community, adding on to the fact that the affordability in Whatcom County. Okay, gas prices, driving from Semiahmoo last night, like back to Linden, gas is so expensive right now. And it's the middle of election. Usually it kind of falls backwards. And it's not even like Memorial Day or like a holiday. So what's it going to be, $6 a gallon before we know it? I mean, gas. So then you see like 33 on average increase on groceries, milk, butter, bread, all the things. Mm-hmm. It's not getting better. And then we're taxing the crap out of people. People are getting pissed.
They are.
So spending money wisely is important, and bringing the dollars back. So do you feel that that we're doing a good job bringing dollars back to the community right now? You've seen grants coming through, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Some of them do. They go to good work. You know, there was one just recently where, at face value, when I read it, I was a little leery. But when I really dove into it and talked to some others about it, I realized that, you know, it was money coming to help prevent some of the homeless issues. Mm-hmm. Instead of just it was a proactive issue, I guess you would say, versus always just reactive. So, you know, I believe those are good things. But when we do throw money at projects, let's say, and then we just turn around, we feel good for 5 minutes, and then we walk away, and we never go back and say, is this working or is it not? That's, I think, the missing link in many things going on in the county.
Yeah, and, you know, so I think, so you're talking about proactive, you know, you're talking about avoiding or trying to avoid people becoming homeless. So what you're talking about is the grant that was approved, the spending from a grant that was approved through the council this last Tuesday, which I said was a boring session. But this is one of the things you're talking about. And it talks about assistance helping people so they're not evicted, right? And
correct.
And so that's a proactive measure versus, it seems like if people are homeless, we're just going to pop up these little tiny homes, or I guess, what do we call them? What is the specific term of the little, like, by Civic Center here, we've got these little like villages that are popping up. And I talked to people, I was recently in Spokane, I talked to people from other counties, and it's not solving problems anywhere. It's encouraging people that they can just go live in these tiny little pallet homes, some areas call them. So I think the proactive measure when bringing money back from the state might be a way to try to get ahead of this. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, the housing first thought process isn't always seem to be the best. So it's there's a lot to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can't solve homelessness on this call, but we're going to take a break and be right back.
Hey, this is Deanna Haraluk with KGMI's all new Pet Pulse. I'm a pet parent myself, and we all want the best for our critters, whether they're furry, feathered, hooved, or otherwise. The segment is brought to you by Whatcom Veterinary Hospital. Heartworms, fleas, and ticks are more prevalent in the spring and summer. It's recommended to get monthly preventative treatments for your pet. Contact Whatcom Veterinary Hospital for a wellness exam today. And tune in to KGMI's Pet Pulse Wednesdays during the morning news at 6:20 and 7:50, and during the afternoon news at 5:20, right here on KGMI.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand. You could be one word away from a chance to win $1,000.
That's right. Just listen each weekday to KGMI for the keyword during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours.
Then go to the Grand in Your Hand contest page at mybellinghamnow.com before midnight and enter each keyword for your chance to win $1,000.
We'll have four keywords each weekday so you can increase your chances of winning by entering all four every day we play the contest.
You already listen to KGMI for the latest local news and discussion of the latest issues. Now you can win $1,000 while you do it.
A Grand in Your Hand is brought to you on KGMI by Niederhaus of Luxury, Whatcom County's newest fine jewelry store, next to Lombardi's on Bellwether Way.
A Grand in Your Hand is back on KGMI.
Get details at mybellinghamnow.com.
We don't have the usual traffic jams that they have in the big city, but sometimes things happen to snarl everything up. Depend on KGMI to keep you cruising to your destination with KGMI traffic alerts. We'll tell you where the trouble spots are, and if you see problems on the road, give us a call at 360-676-5464 so we can spread the word. KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and KGMI.com.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Live. I'm your host, Ashley Buttonshone, and on with me is Councilmember Mark Strumler from District 4. Okay, so talking about council and all the things new for Mark, but you haven't been there long and things have gotten juicy. So I don't think we could go this show without talking about, you're from Public Works, and I'm sure there's a lot you can't say, but $225,000 taxpayer dollars went to pay a sexual harassment suit because of complaints coming out of Public Works, previous director there at Public Works. And now it seems that our executive, Sat Paul, is in some hot water. What can you say? What is going to happen? Maybe we'll probably have to have a follow-up to this, but what can you tell us?
Like you said, there's a lot I want to say. There's a lot I can't say. So what's left isn't very much.
Yeah, and let me be clear. This is not a laughing matter.
No, it isn't.
It's not one bit. It's actually something that quite angers me because the thing is we see through the executive office in Bellingham and Whatcom County, it's like zero tolerance for this stuff, and we're not going to deal with this. And then it's like, oh, there's been a secret.
Yeah. Cover-ups are never good, and my email has been blowing up since this past Friday, and we are going to address it as a council.
Mm-hmm.
We have called a special council meeting this coming Tuesday. That is on the website, so it's just started. Let's just say that.
So people can come to that council meeting or Zoom in and watch, right?
Yes.
And if you go into executive session, then people, I guess, leave, or you go. I don't even know how that works. If you guys go into executive session, do you stay in the chambers and then people have to leave?
No, what I've experienced is we go to a conference room.
Got it. Okay.
That is not open to the public.
Got it.
So we may end up calling one of those on Tuesday, but.
Okay.
I don't know that for sure.
Okay, so it's kind of new territory. There aren't too many counties that have executives. This doesn't happen a lot. So we'll have to follow up with you after some stuff unfolds on Tuesday. I will definitely be there. I will not be missing this meeting. I invite as many of the listeners to come and just watch and join and see what happens when we hold our electeds accountable. So, the other thing I want to talk about is Prop 5. And for some of the listeners know what Prop 5 was, but Prop 5, known as the Healthy Children's Fund, what was sold to the people at just over $8 million a year to kind of fix childcare, early education, has turned into $10 million a year. And goes to the health department, not the education system. And this was a 25% increase to your county property taxes. And so it passed by 20 votes, 2-0, 20 votes. So this makes it not very popular. And Mark, you saw this on your campaign. We talked about this when you're running, that people were quite angry about Prop 5 and the increase, because it's not just the increase in property taxes, but it's the valuation that keeps going up. So it's like a twofold thing we've got going here. And so now there is an initiative out, and I am involved with that initiative push to repeal Prop 5. And Mark, you've been in great support of this. You made a promise to help or to reduce taxes if you could on the council. And being in support of something like this and help being a voice is a way that you can do that. This will be, if we are able to repeal this, it will be the first time in Whatcom County history that we'll be able to walk a tax back by repeal. So I'm happy to announce that we do have 8,000 signatures, which is needed to turn in. It's super exciting.
Very.
So we now move, in June to verification, and then it will be on your November ballot. And it's an initiative. So you want to vote yes to pay less. This is a theme we are going with initiatives across the state, but vote yes to pay less. But I want to kind of talk to you, Mark, about the Healthy Children's Fund, because the more we dive into this and try to find out where the money is going for the Healthy Children's Fund, the more it gets, again, a little shady. And I can't seem to get a lot of answers out of the health department. I've talked to some mayors and asked, you know, where is the money going? There aren't a lot of reports. So what have you seen as a council member, reports from the health department or any talks you've seen coming from the Healthy Children's Fund committee? Where's the money going? It's $10 million they've got right now. And I just can't quite get an answer on what's being done with the money.
Yeah, I'm looking for those answers also. We were supposed to get a report recently. We haven't got that report yet. So I can't speak a lot to what is exactly happened in the year with all those details. But like you said, if you start reading, actually reading the material, mm-hmm. The implementation plan.
Which is over 90 pages.
Yes, it is.
And was not available when we voted on it.
I believe it wasn't.
No.
Right. And there are some things in there that I believe are not the responsible thing to do for Whatcom County, especially for these little kids.
Yeah, and I'm hearing from people who are upset about levies and bonds not passing that this, after the jail passed and this passed, people just can't afford more. And so for the high school in Linden or for other areas of Whatcom County where levies and bonds need to pass, I am hearing that this directly affected the ability to pass those. And so, again, hearing from people that they just don't feel this should be going through the health department. They feel that if it's for early childhood education or it should be going through the school system. From what I have heard, it for $10 million, we can have 600 slots in childcare. That seems expensive to me.
Well,
I'd like to see the breakdown, but for $10 million... And from what we've been told on reports, it can only go to nonprofit. The recipients of this money can only go to nonprofit. Again, some of this needs to be confirmed by the health department. We haven't been able to get it confirmed just yet. But it's concerning that no for-profit businesses can receive money. So, some of these things need to be confirmed. And so I don't know, maybe we'll do some research even further into some of the small details. But things that have come up when people are signing and asking questions, I really would like the health department to confirm. And I haven't even received a phone call back. So,
Well, this falls right in line with what I heard last year as I knocked on many, many doors in the campaign season. And I asked people, so what's on your mind? And people typically would say, taxes are going up and housing costs are going up, and they just weren't happy. And now here is this fund that has raised taxes and it's raised the cost of living and the cost of housing. So it just flies right in the face of what people are dealing with on a daily basis, and that is taxes and housing government getting bigger. That's another thing I heard constantly. People are tired of that. And I just, first of all, I'm grateful that there is an avenue, you know, written into our charter that this is possible. Mm-hmm. This gives the power back to the people instead of, you know, judges or county councils or executives. This goes to the, this is government by the people.
Right.
And I am grateful that we have that avenue. I'm also applauding the folks who are putting in hundreds and hundreds of hours into this effort on behalf of the citizens of Whatcom County. So I'm very just so pleased with their work, and I fully support everything that they're doing.
Yeah, and so it's super exciting, and it goes to show you just how unpopular this was that we already have 8,000 signatures, but we're not stopping there. We're going to continue and get as many as we can until June 1. And so if you're looking to sign the initiative to repeal Prop 5 and all legislation that goes with it, or ordinances that go with it, you can visit, and there's many locations across Whatcom County, grocery stores, and a lot of businesses in Linden on Front Street. So I want to give a shout out to Rustlers in Linden because they have gathered more signatures than any other business or location. So be sure to pop in, have some pie or fish and chips or a burger at Rustlers and sign the initiative. Mark, we're going to jump off here. Anything else you want to add as we go?
Well, just on that subject, I believe this is going to give hope to other counties in the state.
Absolutely.
Where they can look at Whatcom County and say, wow, look at what the people of Whatcom County did.
So. Yeah, absolutely. You're right, because I've talked to people. Levy Lidliff's coming to a town near you. So let's do our work and push back and tell them no more taxes. Remember, vote yes, pay less. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.